All right, guys, this is Nick. We're doing our normal intro, but you'll notice the audio quality is a little different because I have the whole gang here.
Matthew W. Quinn, the one and only.
Hello, this is Daniel, and all that drinking on St. Patty's Day, that's cultural appropriation, and I am not going to put up with it.
My culture is not your drink.
It brings all the boys to the yard, though. So why are we talking...
Boys?
Yeah, gross. Why are we doing this right before the actual episode as opposed to usually where it's just me at the beginning? Well, a couple quick things. I figured we would do kind of a full Patreon plug here. So first and foremost, some of you have already subscribed. Thank you for those of you who have. For the rest of you, we're looking to hear from you. We have already at this point... three exclusive episodes up. We're going to have our fourth soon. Zach and I forever and a day ago did a Patreon only when we were still on ESO, which I've brought over, and we've done Alien and Aliens, and like we've done the last day of this month, we'll put up Aliens 3. We also have a newsletter where you can find out when I'm performing any new articles Daniel's written for his stuff. And of course, Matt is doing kind of a how I would have done it, one per thing on top of us answering questions from you guys, right? And generally, Matt will plug where he's going to be for conventions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got four new books and an outbreak keeping me from selling them. Yay, yeah. Me.
His books are out there, and they're pretty good. You should check them out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
And for those of you who want a signed copy, go to his website, according to Quinn.
Yeah, well, I have a blog post on how you can get them from Amazon, or just contact me directly and we'll negotiate. Thanks, Nick.
See, all I needed to do for his autograph was lift up my shirt, and he signed my tits. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Daniel.
And I guess finally, the reason we're coming to you as a group is to thank you. By the time you guys hear this, we have hit 1 million downloads. We're 5.5 years into our podcast. And of course, as these things work, it's the last couple years where things have really gone out of control, because that's kind of the nature of, you know, being a creative on the internet. But we're here to show up to thank you. We're fighting Corona. We've stopped social distancing briefly to come together and thank you guys for your listens, your downloads. We don't know exactly what form all this will take over the next few months. Like, I'm sure a lot of your podcasts online have been, everyone from people I listen to, like We Hate Movies and Last Podcasts, have had to scramble to figure it out. And I'm here to let you know that Myopia will continue. We've recorded a back catalog so that you will hear the normal quality you're used to. And in the meantime, Daniel, Matt, and I are going to try to figure out a way to keep recording. But enjoy coming up without break for the next few months anyway. A lot of special guests, including Lauren back. Adam is back.
Evan's
back as well. We're doing some crowd favorites, and we're still going to try to keep up our Patreon stuff, though at the moment we're not sure how we're going to be able to do the syncable commentary, which was going to be, at this point we plugged it, Star Wars, the second one, Attack of the Clones, with me, Daniel, Evan, and Candace Woloski, but we're going to still try to figure that out, though it wouldn't have come out for a couple months anyway.
Right.
But with that in mind, we're pitching around some ideas between the three of us on if we can do some small shows, because we're all cooped up and we want to do stuff because we like to do this.
At the very least, ladies and gentlemen, we've got access to movies. We've got access to microphones. We are not going to give up on you.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is we even have a set of identical microphones elsewhere. So we will try to make it work. But one way or another, you won't notice any difference in commentary, content, or whatever, for at least for 3 months. Because we're trying to get ahead and we're trying to push this stuff anyway. And while the world is burning, we're keeping all of our heads about us.
Or sneezing. Or coughing.
While the world is coughing itself to death. And for those of you guys who don't follow us on Twitter, I get it. Twitter is kind of something, all right. But
Twitter will make you insane.
Twitter will make you insane. it's a good way to reach out to us directly. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Letterboxd. And we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what movies you want us to do. We want to hear how you're coping. If there's a TV show we should do a few episodes of. But in the meantime, thanks. Welcome to My Obi Defend Your Childhood. This week, we're talking about Leprechaun in Space. I guess if you have to watch something and it's the apocalypse for some reason. We're celebrating St. Patrick's Day with the way that the Irish did, ignoring things. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of My Obi Defend Your Childhood and Riffer on Cineprov, and on panel we have...
I am Matthew W. Quinn, who wrote a book called Little People, Big Guns. So if horny midgets are your jam, well, I have a book about that.
That's right. If you liked Leprechaun in Space, you'll like Matt's writing.
Hello, this is Daniel, and if you're getting drunk on St. Paddy's Day or any time throughout March, that's cultural appropriation. I am not going to stand for it, God damn it.
Neither will I. My culture is not your drink.
And if you are wondering why Daniel made the same joke twice in the last 6 minutes, it's because he is drinking in March, so
yep.
He's appropriating himself.
I'm allowed to do that.
For those of you who are curious while we're doing... this weird fair. First, one, it's St. Patrick's Day, so you're welcome. Second, Cineprov did this at the beginning of the month, so If you missed it, that's on you, buddy. This was a pretty good show.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show.
Well, thank you. At the moment, for those of you who are curious, Cineprov is temporarily on hold as the Plaza Theater shut down for Corona. With that in mind, though, we're pushing everything back, so we should still be doing Batman Forever in April instead.
In May.
If it has to get pushed back again, it'll get pushed back again. But we're still going to definitely do Batman. Don't you worry. And I hopefully will be on the show. Don't you worry. And if not, we're doing Bring It On afterwards. So
Bring It On was a very important movie to 12-year-old Daniel for reasons.
Yeah.
It made him a man.
I'm not going to comment on that. Yeah.
You know, if that sounds smooth, it's because they rehearsed that exact same exchange earlier.
We did.
It didn't work. So.
Oh, man. Oh.
Wanker.
Yeah. This is a...
What? Excuse me. That's private.
That's also cultural appropriation.
Mom's family's WASP. I can do that, too.
Just can't wait till you try to back out of a Jewish joke or something.
Hold for groans. Hold for groans. Hold for groans.
Mom can do that thing with her fingers. I can't, though.
Oh, the live long and prosper?
Yeah.
The thing with her fingers that Jews and Vulcans do. You know the thing. So we're doing Leprechaun in Space, which is Leprechaun 4. They made 4 of these, and then they made 6 more or whatever.
Including 2 where he goes to the hood.
Yeah, hood and back to the hood.
Which boy.
Matt's really pushing hard for us to do, so I guess let him know.
Was this ever a big thing? Like, was this ever on the Sci-Fi Channel or anything?
Probably severely edited if you consider some of the stuff that's in it.
There's some strong language. I don't know. There's a lot of explosions in this, but they're really bad explosions.
Well, there's really bad everything, but...
I could have made a better movie in my high school video class.
This is has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you know
Shocking.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, I think they all do.
You can tell a franchise is going downhill. It goes into space, like Jason X.
Well, you know what? Jason X is fun, and they actually explain why Jason is in space.
Good point.
It's a pathetically stupid explanation, but it's an explanation.
It is.
In this case, what? It's some sort of thing where, like, the leprechaun's trying to marry a princess or something?
Yeah, this is a movie where earlier movies, a leprechaun is always trying to kidnap a woman to get laid. Here, he finally does kidnap her and finds real quick he doesn't want her because she's a high-maintenance, obnoxious person.
I mean, and that's kind of it. I mean, the satellite of love is a better special effect than this.
Oh, yeah.
We have a kind of bizarre opening where, as Matt alluded to, there's a princess and she's kind of kidnapped. By the by, we haven't really gotten to this, but it's, I guess, set in the future. There's space marines, there's space hall truckers, And there's an evil scientist who's manipulating them.
And he's a ripoff of Davros from Doctor Who.
Well, yeah. And he is a reference to what Doctor Who would do on the Space Titanic.
Right. What?
Oh, you don't
go on, please.
You don't remember that? No. My name is Max. He was a like owner of a cruise line, and apparently he was hiding out on the Space Titanic in that one Christmas special.
From no, when? This is 97, so this might be before that.
Oh, no, this was much later. This was back when David Tennant was the doctor. Okay.
So that's like 20 years after this, almost. Yeah,
basically.
Okay. There is a... God, this movie's so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad, it's good. It just sucked.
Yeah, this is one you need to see, well, a riff. I actually can't even...
You can't even?
I can't. So I'm going to just read Dylan Self's RoboCop 986127 at AOL.com's summary, because why not? On a distant planet, a power-hungry leprechaun kidnaps a Dominion princess, Princess Zarina. Wow, she had a name. Who would have thunk? And makes himself king.
Wait, that's what happens?
He tries.
Not if a bumbling brigade of space marines have anything to say about it. Their commander is a mad scientist by the name of Mittenhand, who's half machine thanks to one of his experiments. Once on the planet, the leprechaun is blown up, but quickly reborn through a series of marines a la aliens and wreaks havoc aboard the ship. Meanwhile, Mittenhand plans to use the princess for experiments to make himself whole again. But now, after many marines are killed, leprechaun turns Mittenhands into a spider monster and plans to blow up the ship. The remaining Marines have to stop his evil plans and destroy him. We're doing this movie mainly because Cineprov did it and riffed it. It's not a movie. It's terrible. So let's talk about the movie. Warwick Davis is in it reprising his role as Wicket from Star Wars.
If Wicket was horny and violent and had an accent.
Well, excuse me. Wicket is very
horny. Is horny and violent. He by the end, don't we see him eating... eating stormtroopers? They're roasting them on that fire.
I heard someone claim that in Ewok language, yub nub means friend meat.
Oh, that's funny.
They're feeding the stormtroopers' corpses to the rebels during the party.
Now, where did you hear that? Was that on one of those websites that you won't tell us TV Tropes. Frequent?
I don't really even remember, really. Which
I mean,
means it's probably not true.
Lando's eating human meat.
Oh, yeah.
He's been like, you know, nub nub, this is some pretty good jerky. You're like.
Speaking of which, the leprechaun, there is absolutely no reason for him to be in this movie.
I would bet you dollars to donuts this was not a leprechaun movie.
Oh, no, of course not.
It's like all the Hellraiser movies where they're just like, oh, we can make it a Hellraiser. Like,
yeah.
He's in this too much, though. It's not like he shows up in the last 5 minutes.
Well, Matt mentioned Jason X earlier, where they actually explained why Jason is in space. They don't even bother here. It's just we get a scene with the leprechaun flirting with the space princess, and we don't know how they met. We don't know why they want to get married. We know nothing.
Well, he wants to. She's just going along with it.
Why? How is that relationship established?
I think he'd already kidnapped her, and then he starts trying to wine and dine her.
So
when do they explain that?
At the very beginning, you see that,
that
like
is.
Chains.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And he uses his magic to make a dinner appear. And anyway, so because you brought this up, first and foremost, to, I guess, a point in Daniel's side, the monster is never once called a leprechaun in the entire movie. He's either called the alien, the monster, or the bastard, or some combination of the three, according to the IMDb trivia.
So the originally was supposed to be a xenomorph born out of the guy's crotch. We'll get to that later.
We don't even
actually
need to get to that later. That's a pretty big part of the beginning.
That's one of the few parts of this movie that's actually funny.
Well, it gave Matt a chuckle. The other part of this is, according to the executive of production, which is not a thing, for the first three movies, this originally started out as a spoof of Apollo 13, which came out 2 years before.
You're fucking with me right now, aren't
it's
you?
It's Hollywood. Of course they do something like that.
Apparently, back in the day, Trimark, this is a Trimark movie, which already tells you a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
A senior Trimark executive saw the promo art for Apollo 13 and immediately had artwork made up replacing Tom Hanks' face with the leprechauns. And that's all it took to sell this script. So you're welcome, America.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, a problem we've had. My rocket's exploded and I'm not glad. That's about all I can do.
Oh,
that's
good.
Better than the movie.
Yeah. And
but it's good.
Thank you, Matt.
I can't. They stole the sound effects from the original Doom video game. Which,
of course they did.
Yes, they did. They...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It seems like every time something happened, also they borrowed the groan from Doom.
They did. The what is it? What are those things called now? The imp sounds. It's the imp sounds.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Also, because I love IMDb trivia, it's the biggest waste of space on the planet. The leprechaun uses a lightsaber. Warwick Davis has appeared in several Star Wars movies, most notably as Wicket the Ewok in Star Wars Episode VI, The Return of the Jedi.
And I'm sure he used that fact to get laid so many times.
Well, and we're here. This movie, of course, came out in 1996. 1999, he is a cameo in the pod racing scene of Phantom Menace.
As a Wicket?
No, just as Warwick Davis. He's just there wearing like a blue tunic.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in a Doctor Who episode, I know, that Neil Gaiman wrote.
Didn't he have his own TV show at one point?
What? I mean, he may have. I honestly don't have an answer.
Like what it's like to be a little person in Hollywood.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was one of those people who has like 250 IMDb credits because...
Well, I mean, every year there's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I mean, he's also in Willow, which is a stay tuned. He was also... in Harry Potter, he plays a professor.
Flitwick.
Yes, that's
right. And he's also Griphook.
Oh, at the bank, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bank goblin.
And I get it because I'm sure you get this all the time, but like Peter Dinklage is famous for saying, no, I'm not going to just be a dwarf or you know, a little person like an elf, which is kind of one of my favorite roles of Peter Dinklage is when he's in Elf as a child's book author and... and Will Ferrell keeps going, little person. Like, and he thinks he's an elf.
And he gets very violently upset at being referred to as an elf, the point he physically beats Will Ferrell.
There's this great movie he did called The Station Agent. Just throwing that out there. Go watch The Station Agent.
By the way, you're almost right. Warwick Davis, who I think was born in 1970? Yeah, okay, he was born in 1970. Has been in 88 things, which is okay. It's not bad. He's also in Last Jedi, apparently.
Was he one of the Time Bandits?
Was he in Time Bandits? I don't know.
I would not be surprised.
I don't think so.
I know Kenny Baker was in that.
Yeah, he was. But yeah, no, he's not in Time Bandits. Aww. His first things was Jedi.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, Jedi's 83, so he would have been 13 at the time. That's true. I mean, he was in Labyrinth as one of the goblins. That's why you do something like Willow, so you don't have to be in makeup all the time.
Well, this is the only reason that this franchise matters is because of Warwick Davis.
Yeah, it's like a
right?
Warwick Davis jobs program.
Yeah.
Well, and I bet you he's executive producing all these, because why not? He makes money on them.
Probably the later ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the first one has Jennifer Aniston pre-nose job, so if you want to see what that's like... I mean, for those of you who don't know, watch a bunch of 80s horror movies. They were pumping them out, and they almost always end up with someone who became someone. I mean, Kevin Bacon was in Friday.
Johnny Depp was in Nightmare.
Jennifer Aniston, of course, in Leprechaun, which is whatever. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
A bunch of other ones, too.
Well, right. But, I mean, everyone gets their start in these things, and eventually they become someone. Paul Rudd was in a later
Halloween. Good Lord, yes, he was. As Tommy Doyle. May we all forget that.
The fourth Tommy Doyle or whatever. We haven't done any Halloween movies, have we?
I think we did the first one.
We decided it was too good. Stay tuned for the third one this year.
We should do the one where it's Busta Rhymes fighting Michael Myers with a chainsaw.
That's the sixth one?
No, that's Resurrection, which is by far the worst one.
That's the point. We make fun of it.
I want to do the third one with the masks. The silver shamrock masks and the kids into snakes.
I know exactly what you mean.
So I guess we'll figure out which one we'll do, but stay tuned for this Halloween when we do actually a Halloween movie.
All right, so we should go over like what actually happens in this one. It starts from the leprechaun's point of view with him flirting with the space princess. And from there, Matt pick us up.
The space marines are there to kill him for completely unrelated reasons. I don't think they actually know the princess is there. And so they come in and they kill him surprisingly easily, but one of the marines proceeds to
urinate on the corpse.
Yeah, and then there's like a magical rainbow that goes up the stream into his wang.
Yep.
Which becomes important later on. I've probably mentioned the crotch burst earlier.
Yeah, you've... What happens is the leprechaun gets reborn via a man's penis.
That's right.
Always wear a prophylactic.
Which is very un-Irish of him. Hey, man, the Catholic Church there is a very weird thing.
That's racist, dude.
As a Catholic, I think they... Are they still illegal? They used to be illegal in Ireland.
Ireland, the abortion, I think, is still illegal. It is. And there was some incident with that caused most everyone below 50 to stop being Catholic.
Ireland, abortion's no longer illegal.
Yeah, that changed in the last, 18 months. Regardless, in 1997, a condom joke really would have landed, I guess, with Warwick Davis doing this Lucky Charms accent. Har-ta-ta-tar. Oh, and by the by, when we do this Irish accent, no, we've committed more to it than Warwick Davis has, because it goes in and out constantly. At points, he's almost Italian.
Well, there was only one. There's only one scene from
it's
these.
It's me, the leprechaun. I want to get the space princess into her pants. Get the money.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
I mean, and he is chasing coins like a little Mario for half of this.
Well, that was the whole thing about the leprechaun, I think, was he was obsessed with his stolen gold.
Yes. And so...
Not that they... established that in this movie.
They do, I think, because at one point he has to stop and count it, or they use it as bait for him or something.
Well, they don't. The plot comes across him, and that's kind of why, I don't know if this was a Leprechaun movie originally or if this was a Wayne's Brothers production and they inserted the Leprechaun or whatever nonsense that was. But, so they blow up the Leprechaun, and I can't emphasize how much dummy explosions filled with hamburger there are in this movie.
Yeah.
It's substantial. You have a guy, what's the officer in charge's name? Do you remember? Because he has a drag number in the middle of this. But half his skull is missing, and it's not commented on.
Until the very end, I think it was revealed he's like a robot or something.
That's right. Which is an aliens joke.
Oh, is this the guy who's like...
The CO.
Three quarters robot? And then,
yeah.
Yeah, that is...
Peter Dinklage.
Dr. Mittenhands.
No. We're talking about the CO.
The sergeant. He's the one who has half his head missing. And the leprechaun at one point brainwashes him to start dressing in drag.
Well, watching this movie.
His name is Metalhead. And it looks like he's played by some knockoff version of Huey Lewis.
Oh, there you go. According to Wikipedia, Master Sergeant Metalhead Hooker.
By the way, did you recognize this actor?
Nope.
Oh. I am disappointed in you.
Well, it turns out he's like a Shakespearean actor or something.
No, he almost always plays a meathead, but he's played a meathead in some very good movies. In particular, for Daniel here, he is in Full Metal Jacket.
Who is he in Full Metal Jacket?
He's a door gunner. He's just like, he's...
Wait, is he the guy in the helicopter who is like shooting out at random, and then when they ask him how he feels, he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him?
Yeah, he's also in Eraser.
Is that a Stay Tuned?
Eraser is 100% a Stay Tuned. I love Schwarzenegger movies. We could do them all.
That was my first R movie.
And frankly, for me, Arnold movies were just kind of always on TV. I mean, yeah, they're the TV cut, but a TBS afternoon was going to probably have an Arnold movie, and then you had the cool friend with the older brother who had the VHS tape.
It would probably be a triple feature of Raw Deal, Eraser, and then their big highlight of the afternoon would be Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall would be the anchor, the primetime one, which we've done. We've done Commando as well, and Predator. You can't get Arnold and everything. Although, I guess Predator 2, we already teased, has got to be coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall is a masterpiece. I'm just going to put it out there.
The original one? Yeah,
give them
pretty
air.
Good.
Give these people air.
And the eyes bulging is just something.
First and foremost, this was never released in theaters. This was direct to video.
Back when you had to go to the VHS counter at Blockbuster, I remember seeing this case. It's... looks more akin to an Event Horizon cover than it does Apollo 13.
Well, back in the day, what that means is, okay, the producers had the rights, but they needed to do something or else they'd lose the rights. So apparently Space Adventure is what they settled on.
Well, right, and this movie is not... There's almost no plot to it because the idea that he's trying to get to the princess goes in and out. Dr. Mittenhand, the princess's blue blood... It's literally blue blood. She's a blue blood. Regenerates body tissue. Mittenhand has lost his body due to some sort of weird experiment. And this blue blood regenerates tissue somehow. And there's also this guy named Harold, who's kind of the little squirmy, wormy guy who's speaking for Dr. Mittenhand. They don't realize he's even on the spaceship for a while, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's this communication thing where they're talking to him via Skype, basically. I mean, yeah. It's supposed to be hyper-advanced video phones, but it looks like Skype, and he's telling them what to do, and they don't realize he's actually on the ship until later.
Well, especially since the camera's kind of just straight up his nose.
Yeah, the big reveal that he's missing a lower three quarters of his body is not till later.
And it's also stupid because who cares? It's such a weird reveal. It's a weird reveal that he's there. It's a, whatever. We're talking about Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space.
No, this was like an Aliens fan script is what this was.
Well, there's
got to be better Alien fan scripts than this.
There probably are, but this is the one that got made.
Which is the whole thing about Alien versus Predator and Freddy versus Jason. Like, they're better fan scripts
well,
for...
Well, you know what? Freddy versus Jason was at least funny.
Yeah, it was.
That's fair. At this point, they're back on the spaceship. The Space Marines are done. They want to quit. They took all the gold. They lost a couple people on the space shuttle or on the weird planet that looks like a... Well, let's be honest. Star Trek TOS has better production values than this. I mean, you're not wrong.
We are going into space to fight the evil leprechaun.
There you go.
I'm going to bang the space princess, not him.
Someone else is getting tail in space, and it's not me.
Captain, sir, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too Irish.
Oh, God help me. Scotty versus an Irishman.
I can do it all the time.
Oh, gross. Although it's funny you bring up TOS. TOS is filled with bad Irishman actors. Do you remember this? I don't know how much of it you watched, but there's always like six Irishmen of the week on each episode.
They all die.
Yeah, they're generally the red shirts who die. Like that's yeah.
They were fleeing the space potato famine. I guess they had to get the bad jobs in Starfleet.
Ooh, oh, that's boo.
Funny. Oh,
my great grandparents or some other came over here after the famine. I can do that.
You can't though. Oh no, no.
For those of you at home, Nick just made a jerk-off motion.
He sure did. I'm a teacher, so I can teach things. That's about as far as you get. So, Matt's horrible space potato famine joke aside, at this point, they're back on the spaceship. I don't know, people are dancing. Well, I mean, this is a movie that no one did any research on. It's just, we show up, and just, you know, there's a script somewhere.
No, there's not.
Right. I mean, we've done movies like this before where someone's heard of the military but didn't do any actual research into it. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, there are nudity. There's for no reason there's nudity in this movie. Anyway, at this point, they're in the bar. They're drinking. Apparently, this has, I mean, this is what, 1997?
Yeah.
So we already have, what, Deep Space Nine and stuff. It's like Odo's Bar or whatever.
Well, Farscape was starting around this time, wasn't it?
Right. I mean, it's the greasly future in space, 2096. And at this point is Matt's favorite scene. There's two women on this ship. One is a Marine. The other one is Tina. Tina is the space anthropologist.
Yeah.
They don't give her a doctor title. They just call her Tina.
Guess which one has blonde hair.
Yeah.
Go ahead, guess.
No. There's also Princess Zarina. She is the evil princess. And Debbie Dunning, who's Dolores. Dolores goes off to make out with someone. And this is where the giant alien scene comes, where the alien comes out of his crotch. Well, I mean, and again, it's a scene out of Aliens where, like, the bulge comes up. He bursts apart.
Right, but besides that, why should they be scared of the leprechaun?
Well because they
know
him.
Who he is.
Well, they already killed him once, so that requires some creativity.
Well, right, and that's the thing. He's apparently unkillable. That's why he's a threat, I guess. He figures out that they stole his gold because they have this thing that shrinks stuff down. They've shrunken all the gold and they put it on the ship. Then the movie becomes nothing about the leprechaun for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
There's a shootout scene, and then it all becomes about Dr. Mittenhand trying to resurrect himself.
Well, there's that whole bit where they don't know who Dr. Mittenhand is, and then he shows up, and then he talks about how he wants to get a full body.
And the Marines renegotiate their contract.
Which is a riveting scene that takes about a minute and a half where they're like, 3% on the back end, and we're just, no, this was live, man. They hadn't figured out the contract with the actors. the production was going into a tailspin, and they kept it all.
Speaking of which, the leprechaun always talks in stupid limerick rhymes.
To himself.
Yes.
I think that's the point of his character.
It might have worked in the first movie. It doesn't work in the context here.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be the xenomorph to these characters.
Which is why it's so funny, because he's almost never talking to someone other than the princess.
And again, we don't know how he knows the princess. We know nothing.
We don't know why he's in situation. Space either. It's weird, especially since in every other movie, he's on Earth at the current day. Which is funny.
It's like that old dumb Family Guy joke would have worked with Joe encountering the Grinch.
Right.
Remember that?
No.
You think all is one. You think all is well. Well, kiss my green ass. I'll see you in hell.
That's funny. But yeah, so at this point, like, there's a computer voice that does nothing. And it's funny because half of these actors aren't actors. The computer voice is someone who is a Steadicam operator named James Quinn. But he's in nothing.
No relation.
No relation. He did three things. He was in this as James W. Quinn. And then two things. Other than that, he's a Steadicam operator. So he has no credits.
Oh, thank you, Babs Bunny, by the way.
Yeah,
thanks
right.
for that.
There's so many actors here who don't even have IMDb pictures. That's what we're talking about. I mean, we can skip through this movie pretty quickly.
At one point, there's a scene where the princess takes her top off and claims that's a death sentence.
It is a death sentence.
And I don't really think she's that attractive.
She's not. She's not the one that anyone wants to see take your top off. Jessica Collins, who actually is kind of an actor. This is very early in her career. She has the strongest jaw of anyone I've ever seen. But she's in, like, a bunch of All My Children. She's in a bunch of Loving, which is, I mean, these are...
Oh, holy hell. She was in True Calling. Anybody remember that show?
I do.
Yeah, there you go.
She was in CSI Miami. She was in a new show, actually a very good show, called Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, where they tell all the stories behind her songs, acted out. Dolly Parton plays a bartender.
Oh, good Lord.
But she's in there. But she's also in Catch Me If You Can. She's always in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
So what's the story behind Hard Candy Christmas exactly?
Haven't done it yet.
Being poor in Appalachia.
They did, what's the one? Jolene was like the first one. It's good. It's a good, I liked it. I love Dolly Parton. You can put her on TV. I'll watch her.
The song I referenced, Matt, was from Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Yeah, there you go.
She's a regular on It's Always Sunny. So she's Jackie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's Jackie. And she's also in Young and the Restless. Again, she's someone who does soap operas. Whatever, that's fine. She works. And she's fine in this. She's your square-jawed anthropologist. You know the type. She plays the badass blonde who comes back and saves the day and is kind of in love with the male lead, but he has the charisma of a piece of toast.
Yeah.
He looks like Sly Stallone's stunt double.
Oh, well, back in the day, this was totally something that'd be on weekends at 1 o'clock on TNT. So that's audience they're going for.
This stinks of a sci-fi original. It would be an episode of TNG, this going into the Doctor Who marathon. Like that, this, and it's what? It's like 93 minutes. So you stretch that out to 2 hours on some idle Saturday afternoon.
Well, you know what I need for that is 100 tacos for $100.
That's right.
Well, if you're locked up in coronavirus quarantine, that might make your life somewhat less miserable.
It would be adequate sustenance for a coronavirus quarantine.
Watch Frasier. Just do anything with your life. Don't watch this movie. What do you want to talk about? Like, the final sequence is the weird one, okay?
The leprechaun gets blown up.
Well, let's get here.
Yeah, that's the sequence you need to talk about.
Okay, go.
He gets, instead of, the joke is, now he's suddenly the biggest one.
Well, I was going to get to one thing before that. At this point, there's a shootout wherever, some drippy space hallway. The leprechaun frees the princess from Pervy Harold and everyone, beats up Harold. In fact, flattening his face into this weird
pizza thing.
It's very bizarre. It's a joke from another movie. But then they take the blue blood that's supposed to regenerate Dr. Mittenhan and combined it with a tarantula and a scorpion.
In a literal blender.
and then inject it into the back of his skull.
Now, if I recall, that was like an accident, right? Like they didn't mean to do that, but he did something.
No, the leprechaun is trying to do this because what Mittenhand wants to do is inject himself with the blue blood to regenerate his body.
Right.
And then this goes to hell.
And he ends up turning into a giant puppet spider monster thing.
This is just something.
It takes about 10 minutes to reveal that. And I was like, oh, that could be an interesting sci-fi thing. It's not.
But see, like, that's why to me it feels like the leprechaun doesn't matter. Because if all it was you take the leprechaun out completely, right? And then there's just this weird scientist named Mittenhand who's kidnapping a woman whose blood regenerates him. And he turns around for a second and a spider drops into the IV bag right before he injects himself. It's the same movie.
It's The Fly in space.
It is. I mean, this may utterly shock you. Brian Trenchard Smith is also not David Cronenberg. So, I mean, come on.
I'm no longer Seth Brundle. I'm the offspring of Seth Brundle and a leprechaun.
There you go.
Ooh, kinky.
And you have to understand, in between all of this crap is a lot of space parody nonsense. There's a lot of Alien where they're crawling through vents. There's a lot of Aliens where there's space marines running around screaming. There's even like little bits and bobs of looking at the camera like Starship Troopers.
But those are all made by people who are so much smarter than the makers of this.
Well, and that's the thing we should mention very quickly. I like spoof movies. Most are garbage, though, because to make a good spoof movie, you have to have a good script. Like, Airplane is a stupid movie. So is The Naked Gun. So is a lot of Mel Brooks stuff. But it's funny because people know what they're doing. You have to love the material first.
Do you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer gets smart and he ends up going to a theater and and the movie, they're all just referencing whatever the pop culture lines of the day are?
Yeah, it's like a Richard Gere movie or whatever.
Yeah it's Richard Gere and a Bill Pullman and a Bill Paxton movie. They're all together in the same movie.
Yeah.
That's this movie.
Yeah. And subsequently, as much as I think it's a stupid scene, Matt's right. The funny joke is the Alien parody where the crotch burster comes out because it's the only joke that they gave any thought to.
The only joke I think Warwick Davis gave to, which Matt...
Your favorite joke.
My favorite joke? I don't have a favorite joke.
Which do you hate least?
I know. It's the one where he's big and he looks in his pants and...
Because it's the only one that's actually a joke.
Well, and... frankly, Warwick Davis is a fine actor. He's indifferent, but that's where he actually gets a chance to act.
All right. The context for this is apparently there's an enlarging ray that the scientists on the spaceship are working on, and the Marines, after the leprechaun traps him, get this ray and think that, oh, this is a weapon. It's going to defeat the leprechaun. It doesn't.
It blows him up to about 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then it's...
And then he opens up his pants, and then that's the joke.
Well, and the other thing that's really funny is they didn't do this scene very well. I mean, shocking. It's 1997. But what they clearly did was they took the footage of the leprechaun, Warwick Davis, and then they stretched it out and put it in the regular scene. So if you look, there's more pixels on him than there are in the background because they just did a zooming effect. They didn't do anything in miniature. And so then Warwick is just like throwing boxes around.
Oh, back in 1997 on paint, that was the most advanced thing you could do.
It's so pixelated and nasty.
It is. It is funny because it looks almost like it's on a different camera. It's so bad. And then, you know, Not Sly and Anthropologist kick him out the vent door. The princess is almost saved. And then we have a scene with the space spider.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The one, instead of the black guy dying first, he doesn't die. He ends up turning off the self-destruct, but he gets...
Which webbed. Leprechaun had turned on in an attempt to kill everyone.
But he gets webbed up by Dr. Mittenhand. Gosh. But not a very good job, because he can sit around like running the computers while hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, and at that point, Mittenhand is just outside the vents because apparently this costume was falling apart or something. And so we just see him reach in occasionally and hiss
at
Tina.
Well, the only thing that worked was his head, which I assume is the only... thing from the actor we could see on camera.
And at the end, Mittenhand is stuck on the ship. It blows up.
Well, it ends with the leprechaun getting launched out an airlock, and he explodes in the vacuum of space. And then all the survivors are looking at the cockpit window, and they see Leprechaun's hand giving them the finger.
Okay, that was slightly amusing.
But that's the director's view of the audience. I got your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the movie ends. Yeah.
More or less. I mean, well, picture Alien, except picture a drunk Irishman, and there you go.
I mean, like, Debbie wrestles with the alien at one point and falls to her doom forever. That's what happens to her. Half the cast, of course, dies in like an elevator-like scenario. He just picks them off one by one.
Yeah.
He's immune to their bullets, kind of. They keep blowing him up, and he comes back together, so...
And they never explain why he's in space.
In the future. Again, they made 7 of these things or whatever. Every other one takes place on Earth at the current day. So this was just, can we make a sci-fi spoof movie? No. But the Leprechaun will be in it. Ooh, that Leprechaun getting up to some, he's getting up some more shenanigans. And you're just like, all right there, perv.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, like, again, it's so funny because we're so close to weird nudity all the time, for example. There's a really hardcore makeout scene, which then ends up in the dickening that we talked about. Tina is, like, running around half-dressed the whole time like she's Captain Kirk.
We've mentioned the princess that the Leprechaun was trying to pick up, I guess, is the best way to put that. And she's, like, half-naked the entire time, too.
And then
the slave Leia outfit. Basically.
Yeah, well, yes, but if a cosplayer showed up in a version that looked like this, they'd be laughed out of Comic-Con. Because it's the cheapest looking fake polyvinyl nonsense. And then she just walks up, unhooks the front of her bra, flashes everyone, like kind of weirdly, and then goes, then walks away.
I wouldn't even say it's seductively. It's just an unhooking and then, hey, everyone, tits.
Yes, but it's literally like on screen for about 30 seconds. She sways slightly, hooks it back up and walks away. And Tina goes, that's a death sentence. And we're like, okay, movie, whatever, man. It's such an unrewarding nonsense scene that you're just like, we need to make sure this is an R-rated picture.
Well, now, I have to ask, did anybody see any of the other Leprechaun movies?
I've seen Leprechaun in the Hood,
which is number 5.
All right. Was that any good?
Like, I thought it was funny.
It has a 30 on Rotten Tomatoes. This has a 0, so there's right. That. I saw about half of the first one. It was one of those ones that was on X Channel that was doing a horror marathon.
I remember there's a thing called the Preview Channel where they showed you previews of all the movies that would be on pay-per-view. This is the early 90s, and we're seeing trailers for that.
Oh, that's how I saw the trailers of Road Trip that I saw back in the day.
Oh, God. That's, what's her name? Nina Totenberg?
I know Tom Green is in it.
That's all I know, too. God. I never saw the full movie.
Oh, and is it Nina Totenberg? It's the girl who has the cast always in Pete and Pete. She's
oh,
in
Michelle Trachtenberg. Yes.
Anita Totenberg was the one who did the news on Nickelodeon. Nick News.
Fuck you, Dawn. Fuck you.
That's right. She was Buffy. She was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. For those of you who don't know what Daniel sweared at someone for no reason, she was in Buffy.
I'm sure she's a very nice person. I'm sure she'd be a very great friend. Fuck you, Dawn.
I did not watch almost a minute of that show, so I have no idea.
Oh, you're missing out.
You can tell the fact that we're talking about everything but this movie that's really not that good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can give our final judgments here.
Good Lord, it's a direct-to-video movie. Not a direct-to-DVD movie or a direct-to-sci-fi movie. It's a direct-to-video movie.
Oh, and by the way, before you write in, yes, I know we did an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for Myopia Mornings 5 years ago or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was me. It was The Wish and what was that first season episode where it's their nightmares?
Yes, that's right. Yes, and she is in Eurotrip, and yes, that is Tom Green.
Road Trip is Tom Green.
If you want to watch him like making out with a mouse he wants to feed to a snake.
Yeah.
In retrospect, she's probably the biggest star of Eurotrip.
Eurotrip maybe, but not of Road Trip, that's for sure. Because it's also got Amy Smart in it, and she's...
Oh, from Crank?
Well, but Amy Smart's in like a million things. So is Sean William Scott and Breckin Meyer.
Oh, Breckin Meyer's in a million things, but what's Sean William Scott done lately?
Oh, I mean, nothing. Let's be honest. He had a very good 5-year period there between the first American Pie and the third American Pie.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, because he was in everything. If you were making a movie in the 90s and you needed a 90s kid, he'll dude, where's your car? That's for sure.
He will. Are we going to do that at some point? Dude, where's my car?
Man, you want to just hear us do stoner impersonations for half an hour?
You know what? I want to do Dude, Where's My Car at some point.
We were all, our drunk movie routine was well received in Evan's show, so we all just pretend to be stoned the entire time.
Yeah, well.
Like, have you ever,
sweet.
Have you ever stolen a car, man? I mean, really stolen it?
All right, guys, let us know, because that's what it's going to be for an hour. Yeah, I don't know. I like Nina Totenberg. She was in a previous movie, or Michelle Trachtenberg. She was in a previous movie. We did Inspector Gadget as well, playing Penny.
She was everywhere for a while. Harriet the Spy, that was her,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was her as well. And, I mean, I guess people were looking for kid actors, and Nickelodeon and Disney is where you could find them. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why were we talking about Ed? Who knows?
We're trying to. I think we're about to do Final Judgment.
We were, but I couldn't remember how we got on her topic. Daniel, you're not recommending this.
I haven't seen any of the other ones. Maybe those are more fun. But this one, if you want to do the same joke, just watch Jason X.
Yep. Matt?
If you're bored during coronavirus lockdown, read a frickin' book.
Yeah.
You know, which you probably should anyway, but better definitely do it instead of watching this. This sucked.
Yeah, this is not a movie. I don't know how it ended up on our watch list for Cineprov. I mean, I guess it's a Leprechaun movie on St. Patrick's Day, but this is not a movie. Don't watch it. It's really not a movie. And if you have to watch a bad horror movie, there's ones where things happen. Nothing even happens in this movie. There's no fun deaths. That's what all this movie should be completely, right? Like, it should be fun deaths. It should be stupid deaths. There's nothing, so don't. Just don't.
I think that's a point of the Leprechaun series, is what creative ways can Leprechaun kill people, but these weren't funny.
Well, and, like, we've talked about what makes a good or a bad horror movie. Like, I'd watch Hellraiser again before this because, A, it's a movie, but, B, there's fun stuff that's happening. Like, there's good death. There's just nothing here. And, like, someone sort of rhyming is not worth a movie, so.
Now, I remember one of the other Leprechaun movies where it's, like, one of the things is he grants wishes, and the wish is for a woman to be more beautiful. And apparently, the way he interprets that is for a while he, like, inflates the woman's boobs and her butt and everything. And he takes it to such a point where eventually she explodes.
I you got me swinging. I haven't seen any of these, but that sounds about right. Oh, although, I mean, speaking of, you know what we have to do? Wishmaster.
Well, I mean, that whole bit is about how horrifying it's supposed to be, but in practice, it's hilarious.
That's the point.
You're right. Wishmaster.
Wishmaster is a movie. Yeah. That's a movie. Anyway, so thanks for listening. For those of you at this point have heard our intro where we gave you our Patreon appeal, so I won't do that again now. But my patreon.com/myopia. I mean, you'll recognize our logo. It's everywhere on that. And everything, once you unlock the Patreon, you get all the back catalog as well. Everything that's now behind the paywall. And it's not like you only get the new Aliens, which by this point, like I said, at the end of the month will be Alien 3. You'll get every episode that we have done. We don't take stuff away from you. We only give you more stuff to thank you. So thanks for listening, supporting, and tune in next week and every future week as we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Between Your Childhood is a product of Blue Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Daniel Suttis, and Matthew Quinn, and edited by Daniel Suttis. Our theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons license by Attribution 3.0 license.